who are a visitor today, a very warm welcome. You know, in Scripture it talks about God talking to us. And Susan and I and some others, we went to a day yesterday, and it was all about balancing the prophetic. And someone made a comment that really stood out to me. They said this: have you met people that have said, God's never spoken to me? Well, say to them, have you read his word? Because that's prophecy. He's speaking to you. So maybe today you feel it's just a one-off or a God incident that you're here. But believe, expect the unexpected. That's a series of messages I brought some years ago or months ago. Expect the unexpected, because maybe today is the day that the Lord will speak to you afresh, whether you're a visitor or whether you've been coming for the last 10 years to see what God is doing in us and through us. Remember, you're part of the answer. I wasn't going to share this bit, but I was chatting with Matt earlier, and he made a comment about someone in his team forgetting something. And he said, don't worry, I've done far worse. So I'm going to share it. I was relaxing last Saturday evening. I was relaxing around about 7 o'clock, thinking, oh, it's wonderful, church tomorrow, and Matt will be taking it, so I can sit and soak. And just something in my heart was quickened just to give him a ring to say, Matt, is everything okay? And I rang him and he said, yes, everything's fine. It's all prepared. And then a half an hour later, he rings back and he says, it's all prepared, Andrew. It's on my laptop, ready to be printed out. And my laptop is at school. Expect the unexpected and you won't be caught out. So sometimes in life, the unexpected comes, doesn't it? But what do? Do we say, possibly can't do anything? Or do we say, Lord, I'm calling upon you. Give me something to share. And that's where we should be in life, because you may have something planned. This is not part of my notes today, but maybe it's pertinent to someone. You may have something planned. You may have your whole life mapped out in front of you. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. But you fail to say, if God is willing. By saying, if God is willing, then you're giving him permission to interact at any part of your life story. And you may be feeling that you're on this road, but at some point, if you give God permission, he might just take you on the other track. And he says, I know the plans and purposes I have for you. They're to prosper you and not to harm you. So I trust that you will receive something today. I've written one or two things down, slightly changed what I was going to say today because it's Mothering Sunday, but still want to be on the theme of faith. 2016, a year of invitation. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. It's to invite God to come afresh upon our lives. It's to invite others to come and meet the God that we serve. You know, the vision of this church is Isaiah 61, to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. Everything we do in church, everything we do to serve one another and serve our community has to come back to that. Is it going to bind up broken hearts, and is it going to set the captives free? Is there an anointing upon us? I'm just. Well, God uses the just, doesn't he? And that's you and that's me today. Today's Mother's Day. It's a celebration that we take hold of to celebrate mothers. For some, today is a day to reflect. For some, it's a day to be thankful. For some of us, we have good memories. And for some of us, not so good memories. See, that's the truth of life, isn't it? There's good, there's bad, and there's indifferent, isn't there? And I talk to people, and they struggle sometimes in services like Mother's Day and Father's Day because they haven't had a good experience. But we are told to do this. If we are Christians, believers, we are told to honor our mothers and our fathers. So wherever you sit today, you can pay honor to their memory by saying, Lord, I'm so thankful because without them, I wouldn't be here listening to your word. Does that make sense? So I just wanted to say that. It's a day to celebrate, yes. It's a day to reflect, yes. It's a day to be thankful and grateful, regardless to your journey or your life's experiences. Jesus says in Matthew, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather together your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. God says to us afresh, how long have I longed for that time where I can gather you, but you were not willing. Today, you men and you women can experience that provision, that covering afresh. But here's the challenge. Are you willing? Are you willing to allow God to come around you? Are you willing? In Matthew 4, verse 19, we've used this for several weeks now. Jesus says this, come follow me. Come follow me and I will make you. And I want to use that as a backdrop for this series on faith and other situations and circumstances. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you. I will make you men and women of faith, is what I want to say to us today. Come follow me and I will make you men and women of faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What is it you do not see? What is it you can't see? Are you praying for a situation and a circumstance, but you can't see the end? Are you praying? Are you praying for a breakthrough in your health, in your finances, in your love life? Are you praying for a breakthrough in your relationships at work with your manager or your boss? Are you praying for something that seems to be incredibly big? What is it that you can't see? Well, if you can't see it, you need to have faith for it. But what is faith? We've just said it. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. What are you hoping for? An assurance about what we do not see. Jesus says, I came to bring you life and life in all its fullness. And that can be strange sometimes. You know, church is not a club, is it? You know, we are believers. We don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe in a structure. We don't believe in a format. We believe that there is a God that so loved us that he came and he gave himself for us. We have put our faith in the covenant that God has given us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, yes? So sometimes in our lives as we are on our journey, we've made that commitment, yet we can't see the way ahead. Well, we need to have confidence afresh, and we need to have that assurance. The song says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We need to have that assurance that we belong to him and he belongs to us. In Matthew 1, verse 1, I want to just read, how many of you have skipped this part of scripture? The genealogy of Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Until this week, I was guilty. I'd read through scripture and it says, now we come to the genealogy. And I'm going, oh my goodness, he begat who? And he begat him and she begat, oh my goodness. But I want to read this to you today. I want to read the genealogy that it talks about in Matthew 1. This is the line of Joseph. This is a male line, but there's some very interesting things in this. I'll try and pronounce the words right. If not, I'm going to skip over them and you can see them for yourself. Let's go. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez. And, yeah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Aminadab. Aminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. I love Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. Who's got a son named Jehoshaphat? That would be a really pleasant thing to do, wouldn't it? Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Hazar. Hazar, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile of Babylon. Are you still with me? After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Achim, Achim, the father of Elihud, Elihud, the father of Eliziah, Eliziah, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. There's a reason why I don't read the genealogy. But did you notice in there that there was a long list, and in there was four women? And why is that significant? Because women are normally excluded from the genealogy. And the other thing that you will notice if you take the time to read this portion of Scripture, it's very unusual for Gentiles to be in that line. And this is the line of Jesus. Jesus the Messiah. When we look at certain people in that, when we look at some of these women and we look at their lives, we wouldn't add them into that line, would we? And yet I am so encouraged when I read them. Family trees can be fascinating. I've never looked at mine. I would like to. My mother, I know some of my mother's family, my uncles, and that's as far as I go. On my father's side, because he died when I was 11, and I'm not really into looking at history and that, all I know is that I had a dad. I didn't know anything about him, not anything about his past. He's from Germany, and I know nothing about him, but I'm gathering some of you that have delved into your family history. It's quite fascinating. Something I found out about, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, I got a phone call to say, Andrew, we just had a phone call from this particular person, and it turns out that that's our sister. I'm one of 9 kids. I thought I was one of 8 kids. Genealogy, isn't it interesting? We don't know what. Expect the unexpected. So I have another sister that I knew nothing about. And sometimes when we look at Scripture, we can miss these important things. We can miss the things and the people that God has placed in that line. We can miss them. And I just want to bring one or two things to us today. 4 women mentioned, lots to reveal, but not too much time. So I'm just going to concentrate on one, and that's Rahab. Rahab. Rehab is something completely different, isn't it? Hey, it's Rahab. Rahab. I just want to concentrate on her. In Hebrews 11, verse 31, this is what it says. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those that were disobedient. By faith, Rahab. How did she get into the line of Jesus? By faith. She's a Gentile. She's a Gentile who's a prostitute. And yet she's in the line. But I'm only just. God uses the just. The just come by faith. The just come by faith. Rahab's story in Joshua 2:1. We can read it if you take the time and look at that. Then it says this, I'll read some of it to you. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim to look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they're looking at Jericho, and we know about Jericho with fortified walls, a big city that seemed to be impenetrable. So they went and they entered the house of the prostitute named Rahab. This is where she's first introduced to us. And they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I've not got time to go into when is it right to lie, but this is what she was doing here. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, and you may catch up with them. But she had taken them up onto the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit.
of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out of the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, and this is a very interesting portion of scripture. She said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land. I know. Here's a woman, a prostitute, somebody that would be despised and rejected, crumpled and trodden underfoot for whatever reason she was in that predicament to feed her children, to be able to move forward. She said, I know the Lord has given you this land, that a great fear has fallen upon us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. She knew that. I have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. That was many years before. For you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. I know this, she said. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's countenance failed. Their courage, failed because of you. For the Lord, your God, is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She made a great statement here. For the Lord, your God, is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show me kindness. Kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and my brothers, my sisters. Give me a sure sign. Do you know this story? What was the sure sign? The sure sign was the scarlet thread, wasn't it? Rahab made a covenant by faith. She heard about God. She believed what she heard, and she put it into practice. She believed what she heard. She'd heard about God. She said, truly, your God is the God of heaven and earth. And then she asked for a covenant. She said, would you be kind to me? Now, when you break down that word kind, it is just, isn't just about being gracious. It's a covenant word. It's, I want you to be kindly. I want you to make a covenant with me. Give me a sure sign. And they said this, if you let thread in your hand, make sure you're in the house. Now, there are proof of the Bible. You can be poetic or not, but you cannot but help but see there is a covenant that goes from the beginning of Genesis through the shedding of blood because of sin, right the way through to the redemption of Christ through the shedding of his blood. There is a thread, and it's not a scarlet thread. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's a representation here for you and for me, and there was for Rahab. And she said, give me a covenant. Give me a sure sign. God said to his people, take the blood of the animal, dip the hyssop in the blood, and apply it over the doorposts of your house. Do you recall that scripture? And then he says this, and the angel of death will pass over. What happened here when Rahab heard and she did something about what she heard? She put faith into action. She did it. It's not just about seeing it. It's about doing something about it. So I want to encourage you today. Have you got faith? What is it you can't see? Well, hope for it. But there may be something to do. Something that you need to do. To put your trust in him. Because he's with you. And when we look at this covenant that Rahab had made, when they marched around the walls and the trumpets blew and they shouted, the walls came down. They came down but one house, the house of Rahab. We should be singing the song, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Because you are the answer to the question. You are the ones that are going to bring faith into your home. You are the ones that are going to speak truth and revelation. You are the ones that need to have your countenance lifted. You are the ones that times when your children come into your house, when your mothers and your fathers see you if they're not in the kingdom, you are the one that is called to believe what God has said to you because he's made a covenant with you. I want to encourage you from this pulpit, from this fishing boat, we are to fish for men. We are to fish with faith. We are the just. I am only just, Lord. We are the just. The just are those that will inherit the kingdom. So they made a covenant. The Scarlet Code, she did something. My point is this. Today, we celebrate family. Yes? Rahab, a prostitute outside of God's family, no hope, looked down upon, despised, born to die. Born of Adam, born of sin, born for destruction. Outside of God's family, no hope. Sometimes we can feel outside of the family, no hope. Do you know anyone like that? Maybe that's you. Maybe you are a Christian, but you feel outside of God's family, no hope. Maybe you know someone else. If you do, tell them Rahab's story. She went from a prostitute to a proselyte. Now, I know that's a big word for me. A proselyte is a foreigner given all the rights of God's people. How? I'm glad you asked. By faith. She came in by faith. It said, Scripture tells us, Rahab the prostitute, by faith, she came into the family of God. And that was the same for you, and that's the same for me, and that's the same for everybody we meet. So whatever their area of trade, whether they are a prostitute, whether they are from the king's house, this word is for them, and this word is for you. But we need to come by faith. We can't see it. I can't see it. I can't see God. Well, that's what faith is all about. I can't see the answer to my prayer. Well, that's what we're hoping for. Well, I can't see this. I don't feel that God is there. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. What is faith? We answered that question. Faith is confidence. And it's confidence in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. There's a thread that goes right the way through the Bible. By faith, she heard. She acted. She put down the cord. She obeyed. The Bible says, it's obedience that I want, not sacrifice. It's obedience. God has called us to do certain things, and he's looking for a people who will have faith. Jesus came to give you life and life in all its fullness. Today, if you are as Rahab was, outside of God's family, because we need to believe for the unexpected, yes? So we need to believe that when we articulate God's word in church, there are those that are inside his family, those that are... Jesus said, come follow me. And you said, yes, Lord. And those that are looking. Because when you look through the stories that Jesus told, or the stories that the Bible talks about Jesus, you look at the Gospels, you'll be told this, that Jesus was by the sea and there was a multitude of people. You'll be told that Jesus prayed and healed the 10 lepers, but only one of them came back. What happened to the other 9? We have to assume that in the crowd are people that will come and taste and take what God has given and come back and give an offering, and those that will just take and leave. We have to believe in any gathering, whether it's in this church or another church, we have to assume that there are those that have tasted and seen and those that are looking. Well, I want to say to those that are looking, maybe you're like Rahab. You feel that you're on the outside of God's family. How could God ever love me because I'm just? Well, she was justified by faith. So can you be. She was just a woman. She was just a prostitute. She was just a mother. She was just a daughter. It's the just that will live by faith. It's the just that God uses, yes? So maybe you're just today. My question is this, are you willing to let God continue that covenant he made with you? Are you willing to lay hold of that scarlet thread afresh and let it down and let God work in your life? Are you willing, if you're on the outside, to let him call you on the inside? It's by faith we make a covenant with God. John 3:16, what a great scripture, worth repeating week after week. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, and that's the just, it's just me, I'm just a child, I'm just this or I'm just that. Whoever believes, that's what Rahab did. She believed. Whoever believes in him, this is Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have eternal life. What's eternal life? It's forever and ever. Amen. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If we look at the story of Rahab, she would have been judged, wouldn't she, for what she did. But God judged her not. He didn't judge her upon what she did in her profession. He judged her upon her faith. And she went from a prostitute to a proselyte and in the line of Christ. How awesome. So often when we think about a king, we think about a kingly line, don't we? They came from princes and princesses, and they'll go back, and they go back from a great, awesome line. But in the middle of all that, was an ordinary person called to do an extraordinary thing, serving an extraordinary God. And she got there not by what she paid, not by how she looked, not by the job she had, but she came by faith. And it's faith that I've been talking about over these last weeks. If we haven't got it, we're going to perish. We need to believe that God is all that he says he is. And if you haven't got faith, today grab hold of it. God wants to make a covenant with you. It's a new family line. It's a new family line. When she made that decision to trust and put her faith in this God, the God of heaven and earth, she became a member of a new family. And that's the same for you and me. We can become a member of a new family. In John 3:3, it says this. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again." You're born into a new family. Nicodemus went on to ask the question, how can it be? Read that passage of scripture for yourself. But you cannot come into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. You're into a new line. She went from a prostitute to a proselyte. She had all the rights. The Bible talks about adoption. When we're adopted, what happens is this. Matt and Victoria have adopted a son. He had all the rights of the father. He will be just as forgetful as his dad. Just as blessed as his mother. If there's a pound to share out, he'll get his share. That's adoption. It's not fostering. When we foster somebody, we get paid for the privilege. Yes? Do you understand that? When we foster, we get paid for the privilege. When we adopt, we give up our privileges and we give all our rights to that son or daughter. That's what happened to Rahab. She was adopted into God's family. She's part of the line of Jesus. Do not say, please, that just you've been born into a new family. This is a new line. This is a new line. 1 John. I have just a few scriptures just to finish with. Please bear with me because it is important. It says this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That's you. If you put your faith in him, that's you. So when you go through tough times, understand that he's lavished this upon you. That you are children of God. You're born into a new line. You're born into a new line. God is an awesome God. In Ephesians 2 verse 19 says this, consequently you are no longer foreigners or strangers. Rahab was a foreigner. She was a foreigner. She was a stranger. It says, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household. If that's not adoption, I don't know what is. Members of his household. And for you today, whether you're on the outside or you're on the inside, you can be a member of his household. Maybe you're already in his church. Maybe you're already in his household. And maybe you're feeling that I'm just. Well, God wants to use you afresh. Put your faith in him. Maybe you're on the outside saying, I don't understand much about this God. I've heard about him, so had Rahab. But God made a covenant with her. And he will make a covenant with you. And that covenant is through his shed blood. If you will believe that he is who the Bible says he is, then you can have that relationship with God today. In Ephesians 1:5, it says this. He predestined us for adoption if you had any question about the words I'm speaking. He predestined us for adoption to sonship, stroke daughter, through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. His will is that you are brought into his kingdom, but just the same as all the others in Jericho had the opportunity to say, you are the God, you are the Lord of heaven and earth. So you have that same opportunity, but only Rahab stood out and stepped out in faith. You have that same opportunity to come into his family today, but you have to come by faith. In James 2:25, in the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds are dead. We need to put what we believe into action. If you are inside God's family, let faith arise and stir you up. Let it move you forward. Let it enable you to come to that understanding afresh that you are born again into the family of believers, that the spirit of truth lives within you. And that's that spirit of truth that will compel you to be righteous. Righteousness is this, is to have a right standing with God. If you do what God calls you to do, you are righteous. If you believe what he's called you to believe, you are. I like to use this scripture when I preach. So often we hear this, if you will give £1,000 into my ministry, I will go on holiday. No, you will be blessed. If you will sow into God's kingdom, he will give you a harvest of righteousness, right standing. So that means as we are obedient to him in everything that we have and everything that we do, we'll have a right standing with him. And that's what happened with Rahab. She had a right standing with God because of faith, because she took hold of the covenant. She took hold of the kindness of God and said, I will do what you've asked me to do. That's what faith is. I can't see it, but I'm going to do it. Because I trust you, my confidence is in the Lord, the hope of my salvation. Let's pray. Let's close our service and sing of God's goodness and his glory. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. Today, this Mothering Sunday, Lord, we celebrate the fact that we have been given life because of our mothers. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift them up to you. Those that to be with you. We praise you. Father God, would we be the just that would enable other women, other to be adopted into your family by the way we live and the way we witness. Lord, we are part of your family and we thank you for you. If you are on the outside of God's family, and you feel a little bit trodden upon, a little bit crumpled, a little bit torn, and you think God can't use me, well, he can. But you have a choice before you, the same as Rahab had that choice. The spies said, covenant in place. The covenant that God has with you is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you will accept that he was born and he died for your sin and he rose again to give you salvation, he wants to make a covenant with you. Simply ask him for the role of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.